was made possible by Pastor Matt, Bonnie Murdoch, Arika Jackson, to enable me to be here with a twisted knee. So thank you for everybody ganging up and helping out. So this probably looks more like an interview than a message or a podcast or something. But anyway, I think the information will be really, really helpful. And some of you may be really surprised to know that you have some prophetic gifting. Wouldn't that be fun? Yeah, okay. All right, tonight the message is prophetic part two. We did prophetic part one a few weeks ago. If you missed that and you want to see that, it's on the Harvest VA YouTube channel under prophetic part one. And if you want the notes from this, and they are extensive, you get your money's worth with me with notes. So I usually have a handout. But on your app, there's plenty of notes. So if you want to use it for prayer even. So, all right, tonight I'm going to share how we can encourage the developing prophets that are all around us. God sends prophets when people are oppressed and crying out to him. And that's probably where our nation is. It's right there. And so he will respond and send prophets. He says in Amos 3:7, surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plans to his servants, the prophets. But we're not always listening. He will tell us, but some listen, some don't. So how are we not helping the true prophets? And I say true prophets because we know the crazies are out there also, right? There's true and false everything. The enemy always has a substitute, a counterfeit. And so we want to be able to help the ones that have been called. And I want to talk about how we're not helping them and how we can help them, because helping them helps us. And I'll talk to you about that, okay? Now, if you don't want to do anything to do with prophets or prophetic, that's okay, hang in there, because a lot of this will apply to every gifting, okay? So we're not talking tonight about prophesying. Every believer that's spirit-filled can prophesy. And if you're not, it's just maybe you haven't been trained. And somebody could help you to do that really quickly. And so what we're talking about is prophets tonight, okay? So when we think about prophets, we usually think about prophets that are like on large platforms or have significant influence. Those are the ones we know and we follow. But that's not what I'm talking about tonight. I believe that God is birthing a whole lot of prophets at all levels and every bit of society. So God places prophets at all levels and in all walks of life. In the church, the marketplace, education, government, everywhere. I find them everywhere. I think when I didn't know what they were, I would not have recognized them. And they don't always know that's what they are. People just think they're wise or they're intercessors. But they're scattered about. They may be unhealthy. I know y'all have never met an unhealthy prophet, right? They may be immature, a little weird, extreme, intense, hurt, and rejected, but we still need them. So if we don't help them, they're not going to help us. What if instead of being afraid of them or shutting them out or shutting them down, we encourage them and we help them and help them to grow? So the goal of the message is to awaken in your heart the necessity of making room for them. And so once you know what they look like, you can spot them and you can encourage them. Okay. Probably more than several weeks ago, and this is why I'm so passionate about the topic, is the Lord showed me a vision of a warehouse, like an army base. And it was a warehouse and it was fenced in. And he said in the warehouse it was filled with prophets that were disabled, and that the enemy had them as prisoners. And he said, you need to pray for them and train them. Pray that they be rescued. So just think of a large number of prophets were released and trained and healthy. Okay? Otherwise, it'd be scary. And they could help organizations, schools, government, lots of things. Every area of life, they could help find solutions and encourage people and help people find their identity and destiny. It would be amazing. So we need to pray for their release. We're going to pray at the end, okay? Often the training looks like God sending them to the desert, just like he sends all of us to the desert, right? Everybody's probably had that one. Mine happens to be a recliner right now. foot elevated, no upstairs, no driving. I call it forced sabbatical, right? But I'm doing that. I'm saying, okay, I got it, right? So God sent them to the desert to build them. Now, if God is sending prophets to harvest, and I think he will if there's somebody here to train them, they're probably going to be a few Lego blocks short when they arrive, right? I mean, when you get a Lego box, you dump it, and every now and then you have some left over. They may be a few short or a few they don't know where it goes. So that's our job, is to help them with that. So first, let's talk about why are prophets important? Why are they important? This is some of the things they do. Prophets speak to us when we don't know who we are, and that's most everybody on the planet. Now, in churches, not a lot, but some people know who they are. But they usually think, generally, I'm a Christian, and I do this and this and this. But specifically, do we know what we're called to do, and do we know where we're called to do it? Most people don't. Prophets speak truths to us that uncovers the lies we believe, like Gideon, that keep us hidden. And I've been hidden. You know, I wanted to hide in the stream, by the stream, and just have nice devotions. And God said, that's great, but you really belong by the ocean. And I'm like, that's scary. So I had to be bold and do that. Matter of fact, right here, somebody came by today and said, God spoke to me this morning. And I said, great, share it with me. And I'm going to pick out who it is so you'll understand how cute this is. So it was Carolyn, right here with the white hair. And she's on the prophet team, okay, the one at Harvest and Good Fruit Ministries. So she's not 20, right? So she comes in and she goes, God said to me, get off your tricycle. And I said, I'm thinking, I'm not saying anything. What does it mean? And she goes, I knew exactly what it meant. So I told her, if I see her on the tricycle, I'm just going to pull it out from under her, and we're going to talk about what does that mean. So she takes, how many Bible studies have you done this year alone? A bunch, right? Handfuls. She's always taking one person and leading them through a Bible study and watching the videos and doing. And I said, maybe you're supposed to teach Bible study. I said, look at her yell. So we're just going to pull her tricycle out and give her a big girl bike. So you may find out your tricycle's going to be missing too, right? Okay. Prophets also speak to us when we know who we are, but we're trying to do that without God. That's a mess right there. They reset us. They realign us. Prophets can seek God's solutions to issues. Wouldn't you love it if, I mean, you don't need to rely on a prophet. You need to talk to God. But occasionally, you're not objective. You're just not objective about something. And so it's good if a prophet comes along or somebody who prophesies and encourages you or helps you with the issue. A prophet's responsibility is to spend lots of time with God to help people. Organizations, cities, states, nations, to navigate challenges and situations. You look filled with scripture. When you look at all the places, they can encourage and redeem those who are wandering. And there's a lot of wanderers. Now, according to Jeremiah 1:10, prophets are called to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, but also to build and to plant. Right? To build and to plant. So if we look at Colossians 1:28, it says, so we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God perfect, that word means complete, in their relationship to Christ. So what does a prophet look like when they're not complete? This is going to be fun, right? So they look just like every other gifting. Prophets can be immature and not represent God well. We know what that looks like. All right, one of my best examples of a broken prophet, I just love this. I laugh every time somebody calls me and they want me to do marriage counseling. And I go, I'm divorced. You know, I'm 24 years, you know. Why do I do marriage counseling? And I don't know, but I just think it's funny. It's fun. So usually what happens, almost always what happens, somehow I track them, is the guy comes and I do the little gift test, and he's a prophet. And she's a mercy. And they show me their scores, and I said, okay, before you say anything, let me just say this. I said, probably what's happening is he comes home from work, and he just starts going. And he says, I can't believe I worked there, or I can't believe the church did this, or I can't believe this person, and I'm going to quit tomorrow. I don't care if I don't get any severance pay, and we're going to move in 2 weeks, and, you know, just, you know, I call it profit vomit. That's what that's called, okay? And I said, that's what he's doing, right? And she goes, yeah. And I said, and what you're doing is your hair's blown back, right? And your heart is hurt, you're crushed, and you think we're going to move in 2 weeks, and you're a mercy, so you'd have to go through every one of your stuffed animals individually. So we can't move in 2 weeks. And you're like, my life is over. And she goes, yeah. He goes, really? So I said, okay, this is an easy fix. So before you get home, you talk to God. You don't tell her anything you haven't talked to God about first. And you can tell him any way you can blow his hair back. He doesn't care. And you get it resolved, and then you tell her. And he went, oh. And she goes, yeah. So I have them forgive each other, and they usually don't come back after that. It's hilarious, right? But it's so fun because you just know what it's going to look like, right? So if you have a prophet that's doing that to you, you know what the answer is now, right? Yeah. So I tell her, just listen. Don't take it personal. Just let it go through you. Wait 3 days, and then ask him, are you still moving? You know? So usually the answer is no. So what do we see when prophets are not complete? All right, prophets tend to make quick judgments about people. They have keen discernment. The misuse of the gift, though, means that they jump to conclusions. So in the flesh, prophet is not pretty. Number two, none of us are pretty in the flesh. Number two, they're very alert to dishonesty. So what they'll do is they'll react quickly and they'll react harshly. But you can't redeem something if you're acting that way. Number three, they have a desire for justice, but rather than ask God about it, they can be unforgiving and in relationships like that. Number four, God can use them to redeem people, but they lack tactfulness and grace when they're correcting people. So if you look at, and they often offend rather than rescue. So Galatians 6:1 says, brothers or sisters, if someone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual should restore him with a spirit of gentleness. So you need to be tactful. Usually if you have time, unless you're on the run, you want to go home and pray about it and say, God, what was that? Is that my lane or do I stay out of it? And what do I say and what do I do to be able to redeem this? Okay. Number five, they can be intense and dramatic, right? And that's scary for other people. If you don't have the same gifting, it can be a little scary. Number six, they can be prideful. True prophets are not self-made and they're not self-appointed. Instead, a prophet should be humble and always aware that he is where he is because of God's mercy and for the sake of the people. It's not about you when you're a prophet. But a lot of them think, I'm a prophet, I got a word right. Especially if you ever get a national word. Oh my gosh, you might have one in your life. But if you get one, you start a ministry, you know. So you have to be careful about that. So what you need is humility. It's the exact opposite of pride. I had a prophet, a guy, years ago in one of my prophet groups. And I was mentoring him. We were at Panera and we were having coffee. So I asked him what he would put on his headstone, thinking this will tell me a lot about who he is. And he looks at me totally serious, and he says, I'm finally looking up at someone else. I didn't even know how to respond to that. I mean, it was so prideful. I'm like, oh. And I'm like, can't even smile. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Anyway, so you don't want to be like that. Okay. All right, how do we protect ourselves from them? We're not supposed to. Okay, number one, you want to, right? Run out the other door. But if you are led by the Spirit, God's going to lead you when to listen, when not to listen, what to say, how to respond. And while they're going off or doing whatever, correcting or just being a little crazy, dramatic, you can be saying, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do here? Is there something I can say that would help them? Okay? So if you're led by the Spirit, you're going to be fine. An example of a broken prophet is Balaam. Balaam was a true prophet that erred because of the idolatry in his heart. He wanted to take the bribe. And so if you want a bribe, you're going to be a false prophet. You're not going to be able to, when you have filters, you're not going to be pure and say what God said because you have an agenda, okay? When I was doing the research for this, I found this magazine online called Crisis Magazine. Isn't that a name? And believe it or not, it's a Catholic magazine. I was shocked, right? And it was good. It was pretty good. And here's the quote. This was September 2020. The world has never done a real good job of listening to prophets. The Old Testament prophets didn't have a lot of success throughout the long history of Israel. They came along regularly and warned people to repent. Several of them were stoned to death for their troubles, and many were treated in an abrupt manner. But the people of Israel, for their part, were only reminded what the prophets had tried to tell them when they watched their kingdom be destroyed and were led away naked, enslaved, and utterly ashamed. So we want to hear before that happens, right? All right, the mighty were fallen. It was a stark contrast to the life they had once known, when they had settled for luxury, neglecting the poor, and were embroiled in political division. Doesn't that sound familiar, right? They were proud and consumed with distractions and lies. They lost everything when they not only took their eyes off God, but disdained the things of God and ignored the words of God sent by his messengers, the prophets. The only well-known case of a people heeding the words of a prophet and repenting is the story of Jonah and the city of Nineveh. But that story is more famous for the reluctant prophet than for the repentant people. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. So are prophets special? Because sometimes they think they're special, and sometimes we think they're special, right? Most people believe that prophets are special or have a special relationship with God because they hear him. Or hear him better. But they don't really hear better. They just have a different responsibility, so they hear different things. You might be prophetic and can speak to your family, or have another gifting and encourage, like an exhorter can encourage, just like a word of prophecy can. So they just hear different. They may hear for a group of people or something life-changing. And so they're not really more special than anybody else. They need to do their job just like everybody else does. Now, my example would be like God would probably speak to Pastor Bill. If we were standing with a child and he's talking to him, Pastor Bill is going to be sensing the heart of a child. He has high mercy. He's going to sense the heart of a child. If I'm standing there and I hear what's going on, I'm probably got on my mind the parents and what the heck's wrong with them. I remember being, many years ago, being at a large church locally, and somebody asked if I would assist in the kindergarten or young kids group. Don't get a prophet to do that, okay? Please don't. And, of course, I'll serve anywhere, so I did it. So it came time for cookies, and everybody got a cookie. And this little boy had a meltdown, and I thought he was just being a brat. And he said, I want another cookie, and he's just, roo, roo, roo. And I said, we don't have enough for everybody. And I'm trying to make it better. And so I said, didn't you have breakfast? And he goes, no. And I said, why didn't you have breakfast? He goes, because I was locked in a closet this morning. I wasn't caring about the heart of the child. I was getting ready to take the parents out. And so I don't need to be in children's ministry. Right? That's the difference in the giftings, right? Yeah. I didn't say anything to anybody. I just prayed for the little boy. All right, so how we're not helping prophets? Because we judge them. You can't hear or receive from somebody you've judged. Good example is a pastor. If you get mad at a pastor, and there's 1,000 reasons you could be mad because, the tithe or, they have something. And, there's 1,000 reasons every week you could be mad at somebody. And when you do that and you judge your pastor, you cannot receive from him. And from then on, he doesn't seem to speak the same. So you need to, in case you have that one, you need to ask God to forgive you. And so that you can be ministered to again. Okay, same way with prophets. Don't judge them. Number two, we can ignore them and neglect them. And John 15:12-13 says, my command is this, love one another as I've loved you. And so, we need to lay our life down for a friend. We need to help the prophet, even if they don't look like we look. Okay. Number three, we don't help when we don't confront them. I mean, you don't need to go back at them with, blowing their hair back, but you could pray about it and thoughtfully say, this is how I felt when you gave me that word. I felt the word was accurate, but the delivery offended me a little. I couldn't hear what you said. Or not giving feedback. Number four, not interceding for them. They're usually loners because of their calling, and they're not really so warm and fuzzy usually, okay? Because they're very intense. If you come into a service, you know, you can see everything and feel everything that's going on, and you want to fix it, so you're a little intense sometimes. So because they're loners, because they spend a lot of time with God, they're not usually going out to lunch or doing things with other giftings, and so they tend to be alone. So you have to kind of involve them sometimes. My favorite quote, okay, is A.W. Tozier's quote, and I think it fits good right here. It's about prophets. I've always said prophets are never comfortable people to be around, but they are indispensable if we're not going to rot. Isn't that good? And I don't want to rot. I don't know about you. Okay. Okay, so how can we help prophets? This is the good part. Speak life to them, no matter what they're saying. Ask God or Holy Spirit, what can I say right now that would bring life? How can I just change the subject here and speak life over them? Or every week when you notice one, I can point to you I could have them all stand, right? And you can pick them out and say words of life over them every week. Wouldn't that be just fun? Or test your discernment. Ask God if they are and see if you're right. Number two, ask, who are they? God, who are they? Underneath all that, who are they? And just speak that to them, unless, you know, you want to ask permission if it's, you know, something drastic. Number three, intercede for them. Pick one or pick all of them. I've picked some, but I also pick my teams, and I also pick all of U.S. prophets that are coming forth, that are coming out of the warehouse. I pray for them. Number four, give them feedback. Like if they've given you a prophetic word, you can say, thank you for taking the time to do that. I don't care if they're just absolutely totally wrong, you know, and didn't deliver it well. You can say, thank you for taking the time. You know, and then later, once you've settled down, you might give them a little more specifics about it, okay? Number five, receive them. Matthew 10:41 says, whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. Think about the widow. If she had not welcomed Elijah, he would not have helped her son later, if she'd have said, go away. So we want to be open. So why do we have prophets? God wants us to overcome our challenges, to become better people, and return to live with him after this life. But he doesn't expect us to do it alone. He guides us through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, and prophets. It's just that I think prophets went awry in the past, and so it's very hard now to embrace them again when we think they all look like that one that we know is a prophet, because usually you don't notice the quiet ones. One of my surprises in doing this is to find prophets that are women that are soft-spoken, that have blonde hair and blue eyes, and I thought, they can't be. But they were. They weren't loud, but they were very direct. And so anybody, you'd be surprised. Like little Carolyn here can give you a word, right? If she'll just get off her tricycle, right? Okay. She's going to get me for this. Okay. So I thought we would spend this last few minutes agreeing in prayer for them. Wouldn't that be fun? Now, if you look on your Harvest app, what I'm going to pray is word for word in your app. So if you like it or you want to pray for the prophets, you could add to it or you can just pray these things. Okay? So, I call it intercession for prophets. So we can just agree with this, unless you don't agree, okay? So we give you thanks. So we give thanks for you, God, and for your prophets who serve you. Forgive us for dishonoring them, for ignoring them, and rejecting them. Also, we ask for forgiveness for any way that we've judged the prophets, those in Scripture or that are currently living. In Jesus' name and by his blood, we renounce and break the judgments and the vows that we've made concerning the prophets. Lord, we ask that you bring them to maturity, spiritually, emotionally, and in their giftings. We pray for healing and deliverance for prophets. Lord, transform them into your image. Lord, I pray that like Daniel, your prophets would have and walk in an excellent spirit so that they might represent you well. for pure hearts that would enable them to give pure words. God, I say that again, pure hearts, God, give them pure hearts. We pray that they would seek after maturity of character so they will be received, heard, and respected in the community. We pray that they would own their gifting, that they would not hide like Gideon, but they would come to you, Lord, to resolve any issues, any lies that they have about their prophetic gifting, so that they can be the most effective for you and bring you glory. We renounce and break the power of the lies that prophets believe, that they will not be liked or accepted, and that it will hold them back. Jonah and Balaam resisted and disobeyed initially. I pray that your prophets would not resist or disobey, but would submit to the leading of your Holy Spirit. I pray that their inheritance as a prophetic person in Christ would be made manifest and give glory to you, God. Father God, I pray that Chesapeake would be known as a place where prophets are birthed and trained. Lord, release the prophets that the enemy has been holding as prisoners. We ask you to download plans and strategies to set them free and train them in their giftings and release them in the United States to bring light where there's darkness. We pray that the current prophetic movement would reveal Jesus, which in turn is the means by which we reveal the meaning of the Father's love and demonstrate it to be real. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are raising up prophets in this season to take their place, to lead this nation to you and your righteousness, your holiness, and your love. We ask all of this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone says, amen. Amen. If you're interested in seeing what Harvest has, a prophetic group that we meet on Sunday afternoons at 2:30. Not every Sunday, because we have awakenings and different things, but a lot of Sundays we meet. And you can come and just sit in and watch, whether you're a prophet or not a prophet. Sometimes we have mystery guests that we prophesy over. But email and my phone number are in the app, or you can get it from the office if you'd like to check us out and see what we do. Okay? So thank you for letting me share with you. I hope that you will love prophets after this. So may many blessings to you on this wonderful journey of getting to know them. Thank you. Good night.
Wow, what an amazing crowd tonight. Amen. Y'all come? You ready to pray? Thank you, Esther. You can tell where her passion is at. Yeah. How long have you been working in the prophetic? It's been quite some time. Yeah. How'd you get started in that? Yeah, just kind of came supernaturally. Yeah, you've been doing it a long time, though. Yeah, long as I can remember, actually, that I've known you in the church. So, well, welcome Thursday night. I was just checking you guys. I was just checking. Everybody's like, wow, did I miss a day? You know. Yeah, welcome to Wednesday night prayer. We're glad to have everybody here tonight. So tonight, Let me just say this. Pastor Matt and I had an opportunity to sit around and talk a little bit last night. It kind of moved me in this direction for prayer this evening. And you guys know that every time that we come in here to pray on Wednesday night, we close out by always praying over our pastors. Amen? How many of y'all know that's important, to pray over our pastors? And the reason that we pray over our pastors is that they are God's appointed leaders in this church. And they go through probably more than what people can imagine as pastors. Right, Pastor Ben? Even though he's retired, I know he has memories of all that stuff. But they go through a whole lot. And we, as the body of Christ here at Harvest, we have a duty to pray for our pastors. Amen? You guys agree with that? Okay, you're awful quiet tonight. So tonight, we're going to go into worship. We've got a song that we're going to do. I really want you guys to press in during the time of worship tonight, and let's just give the Holy Spirit the room to move tonight that He so desires as we begin to come in and pray. But there's some areas tonight that I just really want to focus on with regard, first of all, to our pastors, and then larger, the leaders in the church that aren't on staff, and then just the church in general. And it deals with really 3 D's. Everybody say 3 D's. Not 3D, but 3 D's. The first one is distraction. When we were talking last night, we don't get to hear a lot about what goes on with the pastoral staff, but I'll tell you that the direction that God is moving this church, He is really trying to bring distractions into our leadership. Really trying to bring distractions on a lot of different levels, and the attacks are individual and unique on our pastors and their families. The second piece of this, the second D, is discouragement, right? So the first one was distraction. The second one is discouragement. So distraction causes people to take their eyes off the Lord. Amen? Discouragement causes a loss of hope. And really, you lose your sense of belonging when you start becoming discouraged. So distraction, discouragement, and the third one is division. Because we really need to pray about these three things. But with division, it's like the Bible says that a house divided cannot stand. And when the enemy can bring division into a house and he separates, it gives him the conduit to bring separation and move things in a manner that we don't want it to go. So as we get in and worship tonight, let's get into His presence. And I just want to challenge you this evening. You remember the three? What was the first one? Distraction. Division. So tonight, I just really want to pray into that. And for the first part of the prayer, let's really just get in and let's pray for our pastors and their families. Their wives, their children, their finances, their health, just so many different things that we have opportunities to pray for tonight. And I want to be aggressive tonight as we begin to pray. I just really want to be aggressive. And let's just see where this kind of leads us coming in through the hour, because there are some other stuff that I would like to touch on as well. But if God lays something on your heart uniquely, please don't hesitate. The microphones are up here. And let's get engaged tonight in prayer. Amen? David, go ahead and lead us in worship. Y'all go ahead and stand. You can come up to the front. And let's worship tonight. Amen. Lord, we just thank you. Yes, your name is Jesus. You are the light of the world. God, we just thank you, Lord, for just who you've done. We thank you, Lord God, for who you are, God. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Lord, we just welcome you into this place, Lord God. Lord, we give you complete control in this house tonight, Lord God. Father, we just proclaim this evening, Lord, that tonight, Father, we are laying down, Lord God, anything that we may have brought into this house, Lord God. Lord, if there is tiredness in our bodies, Lord God, Father, we pray for energy tonight. We pray for a release of your Holy Spirit. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to move in power tonight. Lord, we ask you, Lord God, to even move in ways, Lord God, that the prayers that would come from your people tonight, Lord God, would come forth, Lord, with a prophetic anointing upon them, Lord. That, Lord, as we would begin to speak out your word, as we begin to release declarations, Lord God, even over our pastors, Lord God, even into our church, Lord God, maybe even to our city, our state, and our nation, Lord God. Lord, we come before you, Lord God, just to bring them before you, knowing that you're a good God. Knowing that you're a good God, Lord Lynn, you hear our prayers. And so tonight, Lord God, as we just begin to kick this off, Father, I just want to bring an offering of thanksgiving to you, Lord God, for the men and women that you have brought in this church to lead it. Lord, I just thank you for them. And I thank you, Lord God, that as you bring them, Lord God, you're equipping them and you're anointing them, Lord. And tonight, Lord God, as we just begin to pray, Lord, Father, we just pray, Lord God, that there would just be a special release, Lord God, an anointing, Lord, over each and every one of their lives, Father. Lord, that we could begin, Lord God, Lord, just to see, Lord God, the strength rise up in them, Lord God. Lord, that we would begin to see, Lord God, the manifestation of your presence, Lord God, moving through them, Lord God. Lord, that we would begin to see the wisdom of heaven, Lord, coming into them and moving through them into the body of Christ, Lord. So, God, tonight as we pray, we thank you, Lord God, that you hear. And, Lord, we are looking forward, God, Lord, to what you're going to do, Lord, in our pastors through these prayers in Jesus' name. So remember the three, right? Distraction, discouragement, and division. So let's come on up. The microphone is right here. You can come on up and get it, and let's just begin praying. Hallelujah.
Lord God, I just thank you, Lord, for the pastors that you've put and the elders that you've put over Harvest, Lord. God, you lift up the leaders and you raise them into place. So, Lord, right now I just pray, God, that any distraction that would come down, Lord, that they would just be able to cast down any thought that comes in their mind that exalts itself above you. Lord, I pray that you would just touch their minds, Lord, that they would have whatever things are true, lovely, good report, Lord God, that they would think in those things, anything that is just, Lord, I pray that that would be what's in their mind. Lord, I pray that you would just remind them of the simple disciplines that you've taught each of us, Lord, that those would be the things that would hold them true and steady, God. God, I thank you that you've blessed them. God, I thank you that you've given them giftings, Lord. God, I pray that you just bless them and that they would go even further into the giftings that you've given to them, Lord. Whether it be the gifting of mercy, the gifting of teaching, God, I pray that you would just bless them, the gift of encouragement, Lord. Each one of them has their own gifting that you've given to them, Lord, and I pray that they would walk in that, Lord, and that the enemy would not be able to distract them, but that you'd put a hedge of protection around them from distraction, in Jesus' name.
And so, Lord, we just come to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And as our schools start next week, Father, we just pray that all demonic darkness would be pushed back in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for your mercy that you had on us last year, Father, that we went through an entire school year without any incidences, Father, and we're so grateful for your mercy and your hedge of protection around us. But Lord, it's a new year and a new day, and the enemy doesn't sleep. And so, Father, we just come right now and we just speak a hedge of protection over all of our schools, Father, elementary, middle school, high schools, in Chesapeake and Virginia Beach and our Christian schools. Father, we bind the enemy, just as Lori taught us on Sunday night. Lord, we forbid, I love that word, we forbid in the name of Jesus any demonic activity that would seek to come into our schools, Father. We forbid it in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just pray that